It's time to get all set for Sunday, a podcast for busy and distracted Catholics with your hosts, Scott Williams and Jeff Traylor.
When I hear the coffee brewing, I think, what the heck we doing? Because I got barely any sleep last night. As the diaper bag I pack with Hot Wheels dollies and some snacks, I say a prayer there'll be a seat in the crime room this time. It's alright, cause I'm all set for Sunday. It's alright, cause I'm all set for. It's alright, cause I'm all set for. It's alright, cause I'm all set for Sunday.
Welcome to All Set for Sunday, a podcast for busy and distracted Catholics that, I forget the rest.
Be a little more prepared for Sunday Mass. and for
Father Ernie Cyberg's calling in from the 1800s. Hey, Father.
let us know when you need to pause to pump quarters into that phone.
It's getting live over here, I'll tell you that much. I don't know what's happening in my life.
This is
okay. We just
You did it. You gave it a valiant effort. You got a new computer. We'll get you on Zoom next time.
You're a guy with a new computer and an old curmudgeon-y attitude, and the combo of those two things seems to have really bit you here.
You know, I just assume go back to the typewriter. You know, what's wrong with good old fashioned paper and pencil?
Yep.
Ba-da-dum. But I don't.
You know, that was the typing. But...
Oh, I got it. Very, very good. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we have to do audio for you because you're the listener today. You can't see the video.
Clearly, how are you, Father, outside of the video issues?
I'm doing well. Life is pretty damn good, I'd say. So.
All right.
I shouldn't curse on a...
we're off to a bang here. This is great.
Thinking this is pretty standard for us.
Yeah.
It is.
Just going to do it live.
How is the Easter season at the seminary?
It's awesome. People keep inundating us with all sorts of sweets and snacks and treats and such. And so we've all gained 47 pounds and have type 4 diabetes.
Outstanding.
We've created a new form of diabetes here.
I mean, a new form. It's the extraordinary form of diabetes.
Yeah, the Brutabetes.
Sorry to anyone we're offending with diabetes. It's a serious thing. But I mean, you might as well eat up all those sweets and everything, right? The tomb is empty.
The tomb is empty. We're not screwing around here. but we're coming down to it. We got 2 weeks and then it's finals. And then
a peaceful summer for you.
What's a final look like for a seminary? And they're like, okay, how many times do you ring the bell when the epiclesis happens?
That would be awesome.
One.
That would be awesome.
That's a controversial answer.
Yeah. Is it one or three? What do you guys teach at seminary?
What am I going to teach a seminarian?
No. What do you teach? How many times do you ring the bell during the epiclesis? Is it one or three?
One.
Good.
Or do you guys use those wood clapper things instead?
That's only Holy Thursday. That's a trick question.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of trick questions, you ready to do the
final
drill?
No, we go to the Assisi and Rome, and then... because of the new year, they're here in May and July, so the summer are not what they used to be.
Oh, nice. Who are you taking to Assisi in Rome?
The Propaduda guys.
Nice. The dudes.
The Propadudes.
Stop it.
So they started
can
this
see
whole...
my face right now.
So this whole year of formation includes a trip to Rome?
Yeah.
Go visit the guy who said that they need an extra year.
Nice.
Well, originally, we have a benefactor, and originally the trip was to go to the Holy Land. Obviously, we pivoted away from that pretty quickly, but in the future, that's where the trip will go.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Nice. But Assisi in Rome ain't bad, Father. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that's not a bad place to spend a few days.
Yeah, Assisi is a place that just lives in my heart that I like close my eyes and see a lot. So yeah, take that all day long. All right.
You ready?
Father, are you ready for the 2-minute drill?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure. Why not?
Let's go for it.
You're not ready for much today, but we'll do it anyway. Is the tomb empty or isn't it? 2-minute drill. 2-minute drill. Our first reading. So it's fourth Sunday of Easter. Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 4, 8 to 12. So in Acts, Peter is standing boldly before the authorities. He's filled with the Spirit, and he gives this powerful message. He just asserts that the healing of man was done in the name of Jesus Christ, that emphasizes salvation, that salvation is found in Jesus and no one else. And then he declares Jesus as the cornerstone of the church, rejected by oftentimes like the cornerstone or like a thrown away stone. It's rejected, but crucial for salvation. And he brings in this, shows that unique and central role that Jesus has in the formation of Christianity and the Christian faith and Catholic faith as we know it. Our responsorial psalm, right on track.
Uh-huh.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Ever heard of it?
I have.
Or
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Father, you going with the Alleluia or the stone that rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone?
No, stone rejected by the builders.
All right.
Okay.
If you do the Alleluia, you get a free polo shirt.
Yeah, free polo shirt from us if you do the Alleluia.
And prove it.
And prove it.
Yes. And then our second reading comes from the first letter of John, chapter 3, 1 and 2. So John's letter to believers is, it's filled with this like paternal affection and encouragement. This like, he's like the dad looking down at proud at his children. Mm-hmm. And it reminds them of the incredible love of that God has bestowed upon them, making them God's children. And that despite the challenges they face, that their identity as children of God will remain true. And that he encourages them to live as if they are children of God, represent him well in that way. And then he points to the future of the hope of Christ and Christ coming back and reinforcing the transformative power that a relationship with Christ can have. So don't forget about it. Stay with it. Be those children of God.
Sweet. How about that gospel?
And then our gospel reading. Our gospel comes from John. Ever heard of him? Chapter 10, 11 to 18. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father."
Mm. Good work, Jeff.
Hey, thanks.
Father Andy, did Jeff get anything that needs to be corrected?
No.
Great.
No, I thought it was top shelf.
Top shelf.
Thanks.
Top shelf.
Were you even listening?
Not really, no.
good.
That's what I've started to notice. Everyone's like, yeah, you did great.
You know, I'm going to start sneaking heresies in. I'm trying to get into the mindset of the busy Catholic.
Welcome. Come on over.
You downloading, just trying to download Zoom on your computer real fast?
You know, let's just move on.
Okay.
Where are you at this weekend? Are you at a parish?
I am in the parishes this weekend.
Which ones?
Francis Sinclair.
So you're at Martinsville and Francis Sinclair.
Yep.
Nice.
Lovely. What are you planning on preaching at those parishes?
Well, the deacon is preaching, but if I were preaching...
You okay?
Is that gonna
come out your nose?
Wait, in both locations you get the deacon?
Yeah.
Wow, lucky you.
Is it like second Sunday of the month? You get is Deacon Preaching Week?
I mean, it rotates, but yeah, they get in there about once a month.
And you just make sure that's your rotation into the parishes?
No, I do whatever I'm told.
Just well, a lowly servant.
Hypothetically speaking, if you were to be preaching somewhere this weekend, what would you hypothetically preach about?
No, you'd have to preach about the Good Shepherd, right? I mean,
well, of course.
It is
catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Yeah. And, you know, the history of the Good Shepherd, it's like the early days of the church, like when there's a lot of persecutions and they're like meeting in secret in the catacombs. I mean, there's, you know, they had to use symbols. So the Good Shepherd's been around like dang near since the word go. And there's like a second century fresco in the catacombs of, you know, this man with a sheep on his shoulders. And I mean, it was like very clearly Jesus. And so like this has been around for a while, but I love that in the gospel when he's just like, yeah, these other ones, these are hirelings. They'll bolt when threatened. And Jesus is like, nah, I'm going to stare down the wolf. And that's pretty BA.
Jesus is
BA. Let us stand for the creed.
You know? The what?
So and then I would say, let us stand for the creed.
No reflection in between. Just
nope.
Don't need it.
I'm dipping into dumb questions there. So in this, I mean, you've got these two like core messages here, like huge messages in the Good Shepherd and then the cornerstone, right? Like the stone the builder rejected. How, like, obviously they have very, well, similar messages, but kind of a very different approach. Like, how do you balance those two in trying to like say, here's our takeaway here?
Honestly, homiletically, I probably would pick one or the other.
Okay.
So if you chose the cornerstone one, where would you go with it? You already told us, well, Jesus BA.
What?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
If you, well, let's come back to that one, because I want to dig into the
Good Shepherd
one. How does that compare to, you know, the busy and distracted dad that might be out there, hypothetically speaking? Other than Jesus' BA, which is good. I enjoy that.
Well, I would say, you know, like these are your kids, and you don't spook. Like, there are threats to your kids and to your children, and a lot of wolves out there. And this is my family. These are my kids. And, you know, this ain't happening. And, you know, as a man, protect your children. And same thing, I mean, and even like the stone, like there's a steadiness. I suppose if there was a theme to connect the tune, it would just be like, there is this steady kind of hand, there's this solid, you know, sort of rock here, that I will not be moved. And like we say that, you know, for all parents, like these are my sheep, these are my children, and if you're gonna screw with them, like you are gonna feel my wrath.
Yeah.
Like, I will lay down my life for my sheep. Like, parents, same thing. Like, of course they would do that.
Absolutely.
I would lay down my life for my children.
I also think of it from, like, there's a lot of, you know, influences out there in the world that are going to creep into our kids' lives. And, you know,
every day.
My kids are still a little bit innocent to it, but you can already see things trickling into his vocabulary, my 5-year-old, from being in kindergarten. I can't imagine having kids in junior high and high school, but there is that, like, that essence of a father being a protector, and not only from like the outside harms, but like, I think the thing we don't talk about as much is like our duty and our responsibility to incorporate faith into the lives of our families and our children. I mean, I've heard this statistic, I don't know what it is exactly, but like there's this big disparity of like fathers that are actually engaged in the life of faith in their family, the retention of faith and of the children is just off the charts higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a big correlation there for us to hone in on and make sure that like, not only are we like protecting our children from the bad things, but we're also leading them to the good things. Do you ever do that with like with your kids? Do you ever like try to focus in on the good in the midst of trying to keep them away from the bad?
Yeah. So it's, I don't know that I can, the only, the specific situation I can think, like the answer is yes, absolutely. Like I got some really great parenting advice years ago from somebody who said like, when your kid gets in trouble, we had had an issue with our, with one of our girls and they were in trouble, big trouble for something. And like nothing super serious, but something that like violated our trust with them and like that. Mm-hmm. And it was an issue. And the advice this person gave me was, okay, as you take away, fill that void as well. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to ground them while they're grounded, you should also like, they should, you should take them as their dad and like go do things with them.
That's cool.
Like you're ground, you're taking away the negative influences and the things that like, maybe the things they really want to be doing, but fill that void. Don't just put them on an island to be bitter and angry or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that same mindset of, yeah, like we do try to be intentional about like the thing, the movies we watch together as a family or the conversations that we have. Dumber. Yeah, we do watch that. Yes. But even just as a, doing it as a family and like yeah. things like that, or the time we spend together. This, my daughter asked if she could go to a movie this Thursday, right? We're having friends over for dinner this Thursday. I said to her, I was like, hey, we have plans to invite these people over for dinner on Thursday. I was just really proud because she immediately said, I totally forgot. That's not a big deal. Like, does she absolutely need to be at this dinner? Probably not. But it is a value that like mm-hmm. the family is together and we're welcoming guests into our house. And so I do think that like we do try to put those positive influences, those things. Our dinner this Thursday is with priests too. So like that alone, like just yeah. being in a situation where you were inviting priests into our home and things like that. Like, I think that is an example of like how we try to put these influences in their lives and make sure they have that around them, even if the priests I know maybe aren't the best influences, but.
Well, and I do think that there's also, I think it's very easy for us to just look at like everything is wolf, everything is bad, everything's a threat. And I'm not saying to be dismissive of those things, but it can very easily just kind of turn into this really sort of anxiety riddled, very cynical sort of mindset where it's just like constantly picking at everything terrible. And it's just like, no, there are lots of good things in the world. You know, we don't, absolutely. You can highlight the dangers of something by promoting the good of something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We don't have to be angry all the time. Now, when it comes to installing Zoom, get as angry as you want.
All right. Well, you're ready for some.
It's old. It just gets exhausting.
That is true. Like it's something that I'm not perfect at it by any stretch, because there are many times where like my default is just lose my mind on my children, right? Mm. Like, and just be so frustrated that like it's not clicking, they don't get it, or like be mad at them for these negative things that are happening and that they're doing and stuff. But I do find myself, like you said, Father, it's exhausting. Like, when I find myself reflecting on those moments, I think, what am I doing? Like, I could do this so much better if I put a little bit of energy in up front, and then it won't, like, I'll come out feeling so much better about it. Yeah. So
absolutely. Yeah. All right, Father, you ready for some dumb questions?
Hit me.
All right, Father. Dumb questions. Here we go. One. Okay, a couple weeks ago, we were traveling. We were on spring break. We were at Mass. Mm-hmm. I saw something happen at Mass that I have not seen since I was a child.
I'm so eager to hear what this is.
It was intinction.
Oh.
Which I just have not seen.
Were you at a Byzantine?
I was not. I was at a Roman Catholic Church of the diocese of, I don't know, somewhere in Florida. And the priest there offered four different versions of, like, he said, if you'd like to receive communion, traditionally, come forward, receive communion. If you would like to kneel to receive on the tongue, be in the second set of people who come up. If you would like to Stand and receive on the tongue, be in the third group. And if you would like to receive via intinction, be in the fourth group. And then like there was like, so there was just staggered, yeah, staggered groups of people to come up and there was like two people in each of these categories. They very clearly, this is also a church in the middle of being rebuilt. And I thought, I wonder if these people with these strong opinions also are participating in the rebuilding of this church that was destroyed by a hurricane. But anyway, Father, intinction. So that's still a thing. Is that allowed? Is that a thing?
The priest can intinct. Like if you went up to receive communion, like you receive the host in the hand, like you couldn't then go to the chalice and intinct yourself.
But the priest can do it.
And then put it on your tongue.
Which is what was happening. I was just fascinated. Yeah. I remember being a kid and like regularly I would see people receive in their hand and then walk over to the
minister of the cup and
do it themselves. And I remember thinking, well, that's interesting. That's neat. I thought it was cool. And then by the time I received first communion, I think we weren't allowed. It was not allowed.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. I've never heard of like such a like organized separation of the reception of communion before.
Yeah. That seems like usually your instructions for communion are like,
if you're not Catholic,
if you're not prepared to receive, for those who are not Catholic or not prepared to receive communion, please come forward with your arms across your chest and a blessing will be imposed upon you. But like beyond then all of a sudden it was like, and also here's a wide variety of ways. So anyway, okay. I was curious, but I had also never seen, again, my experience of intinction had been like people doing it on their own. I never even knew that was a reality that it could be done. Tell me this, where do you have any idea like where that comes from? Why somebody like it's both Jesus. It's Jesus either way. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you receive the host, you receive the fullness,
but vice versa, correct?
Yeah. Because some people, will just receive
people who are like gluten free and
a gluten sensitivity or something like that. But in terms of like the history of intention, I don't know that. you're asking the wrong dude for that.
We'll save this one for Father James. He enjoys these questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question I have for you. Next dumb question. Oh, go ahead.
Like one preventing Christ's blood from spilling. Now ask somebody else.
When did the cup even come into play for lay people?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
The Last Supper.
Oh, yeah. Boom. It's
true. 0:33, bud. Four zero.
Really, yeah, the dumb questions.
Yeah. I'll try for simpler ones for you, Father.
It is. Don't ask me.
All right, next question.
All right,
how
I got
do you download.
Yeah. Do you know how to go to zoom.com?
Zoom.us.
Yep. See, there it was.
The Crane Bureau.
What I've been asking this questions of other priests, and I think it's I want to hear your answer here too, because you have a strong influence over future priests. So, but do you have any like personally, do you have any like pre-mass rituals that you go through, things that you kind of like have just become a part of your like habit and routine before you celebrate mass? So you help that help like center you and focus you. I got yelled at last week for saying superstitions, but you know.
Is this right and just. I mean, certainly there are vesting prayers that there are, and there's, you kind of focus your mind on the specific intention for the Mass. But I'm also, just in the habit, too, of, like, walking in and just, Jesus have mercy on me, a sinner. Like, just being very upfront about that and trying to kind of humble myself in that particular area, but I would say that's probably the most consistent thing
outside of the standard things
stuff like that, but kind of standard stuff. But And then usually maybe a little chat with Mary or something.
Oh, mama. Good for you. All right. Third dumb question.
I don't know my wife that last one.
What?
That last one wasn't dumb.
Oh, thanks. I guess the secondary piece I was wondering is, like, do you ever see, like, the seminarians picking up, like, some sort of, like, ritual or thing that, like, I always find it fascinating to talk about, like, what are personal preferences versus things that, like, become so much a part of a priest's routine that people think it's, like, part of the mass, right? Like, if you take something like the St. Michael prayer, right? Like, priests who are, like, so diligent about that and they want to pray the St. Michael prayer after mass and things like that, that it becomes just a part of that community's practice. But then it gets confusing if a new priest comes in and doesn't pray and they're like, well, why didn't we do this? Like, you're supposed to do this. I'm wondering how like, if you see that sort of thing start to happen with seminarians where, like, they develop some sort of devotion or habit or something where you have to, like, be like, okay, well, this is good, but let's remember, you know, I don't know if you cover habits.
I mean, like, we would, like, if it became, like, distracting or something, then we would probably address it. But yeah, over the time that I've been here, there'll just be certain things that have just kind of become part of our own kind of tradition here. But I wouldn't say, yeah, anything, like, so outlandish that we're like, whoa. But at the same time, yeah, like, your personal, you know, pious things, you know, that's fine, but they're not rubrics, right? So you got to be careful about becoming too sort of obsessed with them. That can become a dangerous sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's, I say, everybody. Like you said, you know, new priest comes in, they're like, oh, well, we're not doing that. And they're like, what are you talking about? We've been doing that for 10 years.
Father Andy hates St. Michael.
Yeah.
Not more cowboy.
We always yell out our intentions from the pews. Oh.
Yeah.
All right, Father Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the pod this week. Always a pleasure and a joy. I always leave with my cheeks hurting a little bit.
Yeah.
Smiling and laughing so much.
It's harder when
it took a little while for us to get her going, but.
Yeah. Well, next time.
I think we're scheduled to start at 1:10. We started at like 1:30.
Hey, you probably could have driven here.
Don't start.
All right. Thank you, Father. Peace.
It's all right, cause I'm all set for. It's all right, cause I'm all set for. It's all right, cause I'm all set for Sunday.